Senator John McCain delivered a blistering critique of the Obama administration's strategy against ISIS today. McCain told the Senate Armed Services Committee there is no reason to believe the president's goal to degrade and destroy ISIS will be achieved.
Our means and our current level of effort are not aligned with our ends. That suggests we are not winning. And when you're not winning in war, you are losing.
The comments came after President Obama visited the Pentagon yesterday and then defended his strategy.
Our coalition's now hit ISIL with more than 5,000 airstrikes. We've taken out thousands of fighting positions, tanks, vehicles, bomb factories, and training camps.
We're having a series of conversations about Iraq on the show this week, about the rise of ISIS and whether the U.S. should be getting more or less involved in the fight. Yesterday, we heard from retired Army Colonel and Professor Andrew Bacevich, who lost a son in the Iraq War. You can hear that at hereandnow.org. Today, we turn to Elliot Abrams, a senior fellow for Middle Eastern Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. He was George W. Bush's deputy national security advisor, and he's with us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And as you look at the U.S. fight against ISIS in Iraq right now, what do you see?
Well, I see some lost opportunities. I think that the strength of ISIS is partly a reaction to the feeling on the part of Sunnis in Iraq that their government is pushing them aside, and in Syria, for Syrian Sunnis, that their government is slaughtering them. Of course, that wasn't happening a few years ago, certainly not as badly as it has been recently. And I wonder if we could have avoided this terrible problem.
You wonder if the U.S. could have avoided this?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was probably a mistake for the United States to diminish our influence in Iraq by removing all of the troops in the way we did. And I think the president did make a mistake in, I guess it was 2012, in not accepting the advice he got from Clinton and Petraeus and Panetta to do more in the Syrian conflict.
But what about people who say that the reason that we withdrew the troops is because of an agreement that was worked out between President Bush and the Iraqi government?
Yeah, the question is whether we were going to withdraw 100% of the troops. There's no question that there was going to be a tremendous diminution in the number of troops in Iraq. But you remember there was, of course, that disagreement or argument at the end about whether there would be any troops left at all.
And you think that there should have been how many left?
Well, I think the U.S. military at the time was talking about numbers like 10,000. And from what I hear from people who are military experts, they believe that would have given us greater sway, both with the government and with Iraqi Sunnis. Obviously, there's no way to prove that, you know, and all of this is a hypothetical, but it does seem to me a sensible one.
Do you think it was a mistake to invade Iraq in the first place?
No, not given what we knew at the time, which was that there was a grave threat of nuclear weapons of mass destruction program. You know, just about every intelligence agency that we heard from and trusted, including our own, told us, remember the famous slam dunk, that WMD was a terrible danger.
But given what we know now, was it a mistake?
Well, that's like saying, you know, given what we know now, should we have moved the Pacific Fleet on December 6, 1941? Sure, but you can't roll the film backwards. You can't do history backwards. It moves forwards.
Do you think that ISIS, though, would have grown like it has if we had not invaded Iraq?
Well, I think that at the moment that, let's say, the Bush administration ended, let's go to January 2009, nobody was talking about a thing called ISIS. There was not this really quite terrible terrorist group. My own view is that it grew up mostly as a product of the slaughter in Syria of now approximately 250,000 people by a regime that is viewed as Shia and linked to Iran and Hezbollah. I think it is the reaction to that slaughter that largely explains ISIS.
You don't think it grew out of elements of al-Qaeda that existed previously?
Oh, no. I think that's quite likely. But how is it that it happened mostly in the last few years? Those elements were there. How is it that they grew so quickly, grew much more quickly than al-Qaeda itself in that region, than al-Qaeda in Iraq or in the Arabian Peninsula. I think it was a reaction to the horrible slaughter of Sunnis that was going on in Syria, and secondly, to the feeling of alienation of Sunnis in Iraq at the hands of a quite sectarian government.
So you're saying if the U.S. had had a much larger presence there, perhaps some of these things could have been avoided. There are other people on the other side of this who say this conflict is never going to end. And should the U.S. really be putting its troops on the line every day on the ground in a very dangerous place and getting in the middle of what ends up in a lot of places being a sectarian civil war?
It would be nice, I think, if we could take the view that this has nothing to do with us. But we know from not only from 9/11, but from the attacks that have been tried in the United States since then, that we may not want to be part of this, but the people at the other side do view the United States as a target. So I think it's something that we cannot turn away from. I do think that I wouldn't say a large U.S. presence in Iraq, but a U.S. military presence in Iraq might have given us the ability to influence events there. And I do think that the Obama administration made a huge mistake when the president rejected the advice of the people who were supposed to be his key foreign and military advisors, secretaries of state and defense, and the head of the CIA, who told him that more was going to be needed in Syria. And he wouldn't do it. And I think that, again, it's impossible to prove a negative, but it does seem to me that what we've seen in Syria reflects in part the failure of the United States to move against the Assad regime and to help moderate rebels. And in that vacuum, these rebels that are linked to terrorist groups, ISIS, al-Qaeda, have really grown very fast.
We're speaking with Elliot Abrams, who's a senior fellow for Middle Eastern Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. He also served under President George W. Bush. And when you talk about moderate rebels, how do we figure out if we're going to go down that road and give more support to moderate rebels in the region, how do we figure out who's not going to just turn against us as many of the moderate rebels that we've supported in the past have?
Well, I think it's striking that there are rebel groups in Syria who've been getting almost no help for several years now from the United States and from outside more generally. But they continue fighting and they continue not joining ISIS or al-Qaeda. Identifying people is going to be hard, especially now in 2015, because several years of vicious combat have gone by. But look, that's why we have a CIA. That's why we have relationships with Turkish and British and Jordanian intelligence in order to make those judgments about who we should be dealing with and whom we should not be dealing with.
And what about Iraq? Why does it matter so much to the United States what happens within the borders of Iraq?
I think we've learned that ungoverned space is space that is used by terrorist groups. And we see the way that ISIS has obliterated the border between Syria and Iraq. I think that if the United States turns away and allows Iraq to collapse into a giant ungoverned space that is instead ruled by ISIS, we will find ourselves at the receiving end of more and more efforts to do a terrorist attack on the homeland.
Isn't governed space also space that's used by terrorist groups? Weren't the 9/11 planners working out of Germany and other places around the world?
Yeah, they were. I think we are a lot better now. We are, the Germans are, the British are, all the Europeans are. We're much more cognizant of the threat that we all face. And I hope that the kinds of things that they did, not only in Germany, how about in the United States, the flight training in the United States?
Yeah, in Florida.
I like to think that we are now capable of stopping and our allies are capable of stopping that kind of activity.
As someone who was working in the Bush administration when this all got started, do you take responsibility for where we are today, or how do you feel any personal regret about the situation?
Well, I think the administration was right to do what it did in 2003 on the basis of the information we had available then. I think the post-war planning, obviously, I think everyone would say, was inadequate and should have been much better. And that leads you to 2007 and 8 and the surge. And I think the situation in Iraq and Syria was much different in 2009 when President Obama came to office. And he himself, at the time that he said he was removing troops, said that he felt the situation in Iraq had improved greatly and was far more stable. So I would not myself go back to 2003 when there was no ISIS and when the situation in Iraq looked quite different. I think the developments of the last 6 years are not the responsibility of President Bush. They are the responsibility of the president in power now.
That's Elliot Abrams, who's a senior fellow for Middle Eastern Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations. He served in the Bush administration as Deputy National Security Advisor and supervised Middle East policy. Elliot Abrams, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome.